Our first scripture reading today is from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 4 to 8. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Our second scripture reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 11, verses 1 to 18. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us in the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." Our hymn of response is "Be Thou My Vision," number 451.
And please be seated. Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
We gather in the name and the Spirit of Jesus. This is the Jesus who humbled himself, the Jesus who emptied himself, the Jesus who became obedient even unto death on the cross, and on the cross, Jesus committed the Spirit. He committed his Spirit fully and completely into God's hands. The same Spirit is alive and moving and active and stirring amongst us this morning. Let's pray. O holy and mighty God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations on each of our hearts, may they be acceptable in your sight. You are our rock and redeemer. Amen. So have you ever changed your mind? Maybe once or twice? Today I was going to wear a brown jacket. I decided at the last minute to put on the blue. Last night I was going to have a burger and fries for supper. I had pizza and a salad instead. We change our minds most of the time. It's not a big deal. But that's not really what Paul is talking about in this morning's scripture. Paul is talking about a change of mind that is a big deal. He's talking about a change of mind that comes from a change of heart. A change of mind that comes from a change of heart. Paul is talking about, well, he's talking to the churches and church people. He's talking about the way we can think and act. Paul challenges us, saying, man, there are times we worry about ourselves and our own pet projects. There are times we're more concerned about ourselves than we are about the greater good. And the apostle writes, don't look to your own interests first. If necessary, change your minds. He continues in Romans 12, he writes about, what's titled, Place Your Life Before God. He writes, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, take your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, your walking around life, take your life and place it before God as an offering. Embrace what God does for you. It's the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to the culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your eyes, fix your attention on God. And then you'll be changed from the inside out. He continues, readily recognize what God wants from you and then quickly respond to it. Unlike the world, unlike the culture around us, it can be always dragging us down to a level of immaturity. God wants to bring out the best in us. Change our minds and changing our hearts from the inside out. Our bishop writes about this guy he refers to as JB. JB was in prison. He was a leader of a white supremacist group in his area, the Aryan Nation. And as the leader of that, he got convicted for a murder and sent away. Even in prison, JB, he stayed active in his activities. He coordinated, he led illegal activities inside the walls and even outside of the walls. So JB led the beatings of people who were African American or Muslim. JB led in the number of knockdowns by the prison guards. JB led in the number of days spent in solitary confinement. His mind was filled with hatred and violence and dominance and intimidation. His mind was filled with exploitation and self-gratification. But then he changed his mind. But then his heart changed. Through some ministries in the prison, through exposure to a warden, through exposure to a guy who was sold out for Jesus, JB started to take on the mind of Christ. JB started to empty himself. And JB started to look to other people's needs before his own. That was actually a dangerous undertaking for him, because JB used to be the guy that identified the targets to go after. At this point, he became the target because all of his Aryan Nation buddies felt like he had betrayed them. So little by little, as he got involved with prison ministries, as his mind was changing, his heart was changing too. That change of heart actually helped to transform the prison where he was living. One went from being one of the most violent and deadly places to actually being a model correctional facility. Changing minds and changing hearts, we're talking about self-emptying. We're talking about letting go of our dug-in positions. We're talking about taking a breath, a stepping away from the battle, maybe even letting down our guard. So maybe we listen to God and to each other. Maybe we listen to God and each other so much so that we begin to die to ourselves. Changing our minds and our hearts, it's not always easy. It can get messy. It can require going against some of our built-in need for predictability or for safety and security. Yet when we faithfully change our minds, we begin to find a new freedom. We discover a new kind of peace. We find that we're unbound and we're unburdened. We live with a growing less fear. Can you say it like that? In the early church, the Jewish and the Gentile, there were Jewish and Gentile people who were followers of Jesus, and they agreed on the mission of Jesus. And when they agreed on the mission of Jesus, there was unity, and they were filled and they were guided by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the God movement we call the early church. It moved forward when Jesus' followers let the same mind be in them that was in Christ Jesus. Their minds were changing, their hearts were following. And that's a story for us as United Methodists too. John Wesley, he was fueled by the Spirit. He got this little group of guys together. They actually did things outside of the physical walls. It was radical. It was unconventional. He brought an extravagant message of hope and mission and care for the others that were beyond the traditional church. It went against the church teachings of their area and time. The gospel spread across England. The gospel, it was brought to the frontiers of the newly forming United States. Friends, we are people grounded in changing our minds if that's what's necessary. We are people grounded in finding ways to be the church together to make a difference for the mission of Jesus. We are people grounded in growing and changing hearts that find new ways of bringing mercy and grace. We are people of hope and healing and new life and resurrection. It doesn't matter however and wherever people might need it. That's who we are. In our second reading that Lyda read from the book of Acts, it was chapter 11, Peter talks about this vision in Joppa. And Peter's vision challenged so much of what Peter was taught growing up and as a Jewish man. Peter's vision challenged so much of what he thought was right and necessary to love God and neighbor. And yet Peter listened. And because it was the right thing, Peter changed his mind. And in the process, his heart was changed too. It changed Peter, it changed the world. It was scandalous. Peter baptized and even ate with the uncircumcised Gentiles. Goodness knows he got called on the carpet for it, right? His religious friends complained and they pointed fingers. They condemned Peter for ruining their good name. After all, they were the Jews, and the Gentiles surely weren't the chosen ones. Our bishop writes, you know, that today we can be more sophisticated about it. We can be more savvy about the questions and the statements we make, but our messages sometimes, they can be the same as those early Jewish challengers. Sometimes our messages are divisive instead of unifying. Sometimes our messages are couched in care and concern, but their intent is actually rooted in a hard-hearted disdain for the other, for someone we might see as different than us. So Peter went to the people who were condemning him, and he said, you know what? You know what? The outsiders, the other, the Holy Spirit came upon them just like it did us. And then he cites Jesus saying, you know, John baptized with water, you will be baptized with the Spirit. And then Peter asked the question, if God gave them the same gifts that God gave us, if God gave them the same gifts that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, then who am I to hinder God? Who am I to hinder God? That's the question, isn't it? Friends, that can be a haunting question. Who am I to hinder God? This is the question we are challenged to wrestle with this morning. So the question before us is what we're doing, is what we're saying, is the way that we're behaving, is it helping or is it hindering God? Because if we find areas in our life where the answer is that we're hindering God, if the answer is that we're hindering the breakthrough of the Holy Spirit, then it's time to examine our heads and our hearts. Who am I that I might hinder God? Friends, here this morning, let's take those next steps in emptying ourselves. Let's empty ourselves of the need to control each other. Let's empty ourselves of the need to control God. Let's empty ourselves of the fear of each other and the fear of the future and the fear of the unknown. Sometimes we have to take a step out in faith. And sometimes we have to change our minds. And sometimes our hearts need changing too. So as we worship this morning, the challenge before us is to empty ourselves so we can faithfully ask, who am I to hinder God? Let's pray. God, who am I? Who are we as your servants? Mighty Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes and our minds to help us to see, to reveal to us how and where we might need to change our minds. Touch our hearts in areas of our hearts where they need changing. Because the last thing we ever want to do is to hinder you or to hinder your mission. God, we pray in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Friends, as people forgiven by God, as people reconciled or reconnected to God through Jesus Christ, we come to a time of offering. We receive a musical offering. We come examining ourselves, visiting with God, wrestling with God. Are there areas we need to empty ourselves? Are there areas we need to be receptive to God's filling, to grow in having the same mind as that as Christ Jesus?